Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Gordon. My guest today is Giampaolo Tabarini. Giampaolo's winery is obviously called Tabarini, and it is in Montefalco, in Umbria, in central Italy. Welcome, Giampaolo.
Thank you, Monty.
Right, now let's go through, let's start off with your family history.
Well, I'm the fifth generation winemaker, always in the same lands. I got the company when I was very young. I was 22 years old. It was 1996.
That is young.
Yeah, really young. At that time, Montefalco wasn't well known as today it is. So I got this company, and mostly my grandfather used to sell wine in bulk to foreign merchants. So the wine was delivered to Luxembourg, French. So we didn't have any idea where at the end the wine was going through.
The French buying Italian wine and pretending it was French. Well, I would never believe it.
Yeah, you can. Well, at that time, usually the merchant used to tell to my grandfather that the wine was for local taverna. But the size they used to collect at the cellar was huge. We were speaking about 40,000, 50,000 liters per time. So this is not an amount that a taverna can consume it, but in 20 years. So, but, you know, grower at that time didn't have the culture, didn't have the knowledge of how the market was. So they simply trust on what those people used to tell them, and at the end they got the money.
So yeah, it was quantity rather than quality.
Yeah, so they was happy because winery in spring used to be clean.
Yeah, empty to money. Sell all the wine in spring. See,
exactly. Yeah.
Go on
the
holiday.
Money is in the pocket.
Yeah.
So at the end, was working at that time. So when I got the company, first things I said to my family, it was, we have changed something. This is not anymore the way to go ahead. The market is changing, everything is changing. So if you really dream that I do not escape, that I don't go far away,
you don't run away.
Yes, if you want that I stay here in the village doing your job, something have to change.
So it's basically what you're saying, it's my way or the highway. Either I did it my way or
exactly.
I'm going to go.
Exactly.
And were your parents happy? Did they say, okay, we'll trust you?
Well, that was very scared. Really, literally scared. Because we had to invest a lot and change everything. Grower, never been investor, never been man that was into the industry, so have the knowledge of the commerce and so on.
So what did you invest in? Were you talking about stainless steel tanks?
Yeah.
High density vineyards?
So slowly we had to purchase the new tools because the old one wasn't working anymore as should work. Because technology was changed, because if you want to sell the wine into the bottle, the wine should be perfect.
Clean and
I wasn't looking to make the wine. I was looking to make a miracle. So if you want to make a miracle, you need of the right tools to make it happen.
Okay, so now you've been doing, that was early 1990s, so you've had what, 20 years?
Yes, I was 22. So I started to run the company. I changed everything. At the beginning of 2000 was the time to release the wine on the market. But also there, I keep another decision that was fundamental at that time, because the question on my brain was, why people should buy my wine? There are many known wine, so why such people should go on the shelf and grab my bottle? And it's the first issue.
So you wanted to get into the consumer's head.
Exactly.
What is the motivation for buying a Sagrantino?
So I said to myself, if people should trust me, I need to show them my work, not in a short time, in a long time. Because I can be lucky once, I can be lucky twice.
Do you mean you needed to be consistent?
Exactly. Give a weight to the things you daily do. And so I released on the market three different vintages. So three different vintages of Sagrantino and three different vintages of Montefalco Rosso. Instead, goes out in the market 2 years earlier with the first one.
So I don't understand. So you're releasing the wines earlier than normal, or you're waiting to release
I'm
the wine?
Waiting for to release
but how did you pay for that? If you've already... You
that was the trap.
Yeah, right, okay.
No cash in the pocket, so it was literally surviving. But that was good, because when we released the free vintages on the market, people touch with their hands, say, oh, the first vintage is so good, the second is even better. Third one, he's improving. This fucking guy is working seriously.
All right, so you established a market.
So that was our beginning on the market. And at the same time, the first two words shows up. So we broken the wall here in Montefalco, where just a couple of wineries used to got the Trebicchieri Gambero Rosso.
So were you getting awards as well in the?
Yes. Yeah, so the wall was literally pushed down. And
were your parents happy? Were they still alive?
Yeah.
They were happy with it.
They are.
Were they surprised?
Nobody was expecting that. So we got the first award from Gambero Rosso, my first Trebicchieri. And that time I didn't have...
Trebicchieri is three glasses, which is the top rating from a very well-known and respected Italian wine critical journal.
You're right. After these, many other awards came out years after here. So, and today, we are awarded by all the known guide, national, international. So we are very proud of what we did.
So tell me about the actual estate. How big is it? What is the soil type? How do you work?
Well, my first winery was inside...
Your first winery? How many wineries have you had?
I moved my tanks from rooms to another for many years since I got my...
But they're always in one place, right?
Yes. My grandfather had different buildings. There was a room inside the family house that was for fermenting. So the fermentation zone was inside the house. In the middle, there was the kitchen. Into a side, the fermenting zone. On the other side, there was the cows. So the kitchen was in the middle of such a garden.
Between beef and wine. Yeah?
Exactly. Then, beginning of 2000, I moved all the things into another building close by the house. Since in 2003, I've been able to start to build a new cellar. But the new cellar I built in 2003, it wasn't really the building in my dreams. So I was dreaming, as everybody, you know, we dream for the most beautiful woman, we dream for the best car, we have a lot of dreams. But sometimes it's not so easy get it immediately. So remain a dreams at that time, but I built the first cellar, but I didn't have the satisfaction I was looking for. So now the project is improving and the new cellar is so nice. I'm very proud.
So you got another cellar?
Yeah, it's always there. I'm enlarging the building, I'm adding a bricks up to another every time I can.
So what is the difference between the old cellar and the new cellar?
Well, I say all the time, well, first of all, I work personally into the wine. So I do not have workers that take care of my grapes, take care of my wine. I personally do it. So I say all the time that if you want to do a good job, you should work in a comfortable way.
Yeah, and simple.
Yeah. As more space you have, as better you work. So I took a piece of paper, completely white, and I start to paint all the tools into this paper. And then after the tools, I said, okay, now it's time to place the wall. And I start to place the wall around the tools. So the walls follow the idea.
So the shape of the winery is governed by what's going to be inside it. So when you say the tools, you mean like tanks, presses?
Exactly. So all the stainless steel tanks to have fermentation. Well, even before. Because there's a moment where we collect the grapes into the cellar.
Because you make red and white wine as well. So that means you have a winery that must be capable of doing...
But we are very carefully in the selection of the grapes. So I don't want to put all the grapes inside the same stainless steel tanks. It's the same. I say all the time that make the wine is like cooking. So I don't want to take all the fruit and put all the fruits on the pot to make my marmalade. I want to say, okay, this is a very beautiful apple. I want to use this. The other one, there are a couple of bags. It's not so beautiful. To be very honest, it's a little bit ugly. So I want to use this. But this one not.
So you want to select the best grapes.
And even more, we are the only winery that since 2003 bottled separately single vineyard. So every corner of every single vineyard is separate.
So how many, so you mean you ferment everything apart, every block
exactly.
apart. But do you label wines under single vineyard?
Yes.
How many single vineyard
we
wines
have
does Tappadini make?
On label, we have three.
Okay.
In the cellar, I have much more. We usually have 8, 9 Sorrentino every year.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you two questions, okay?
Yeah.
So the first one is just give us the names of the three vineyard names that you put on the label.
Yeah.
Okay, first. That's the first question. Bye.
Well, The name of the vineyard, of course, is an historical name that you find on the map of the 12th century, something like this. So we have Colle alle Macchie, that is the highest hill in the southern side of Montefalco.
Colle alle Macchie.
Colle alle Macchie.
So that's the hill of Macchie. Cos'è Macchie?
Sì.
Cos'è Macchie?
Macchie is oak.
All right, so that's oak forest.
Oak forest. Right.
So the next one, number two.
Number two is Campo alla Cerqua.
So that's the field of the...
Cerqua is a dialect word. In Italian language, cerqua is quercia.
The oak tree.
Oak tree.
So that's the evergreen oak.
Exactly.
Number three.
Number three is Colle Grimaldesco. This is a very long story.
Just say it again.
Colle Grimaldesco.
So it's the hill of Grimaldesco. Who or what is a Grimaldesco?
Grimaldesco is Grimwald is a Longobard king that in the 6th century came, there was a barbarian. There was Longobard.
Yeah, we love Longobards.
There was Longobard. You know, they destroyed everything. They were crazy.
Yeah.
Really crazy. And so they came in the 6th century to our area to keep the Grand Ducato of Spoleto that was under the church. And of course, as used to happen, the father was in town in Spoleto, but the king was in Montefalco because, you know, Montefalco is the balcony of Umbria. So from Montefalco, you can see everything all around.
So it's a very strategically important point in central Italy in terms of military defense and all that sort of stuff, yeah?
You got it. So the king was exactly on the hill where today we have the winery.
Okay.
So we discovered an old map and there was such name on the map. So we sent an historical professor to the Vatican Museum to make a research and study about that. And he came back with all the information about this Longobard king.
What people do just to get the name right on the front of their Sagrantino bottle is quite incredible, isn't
it? But it's not yet done, because at the same time we discovered that... It's crazy. This is a long story. We never had. So
it's all right. We've got plenty of tape in the machine. All right. It's fine.
So I delivered a photographer to Spain because we discovered that this Longobard king did his own coins with his own face on it. So anyway, we got the picture. And then from the picture, we studied another project. We realized that the graphic drawer of the king at such time used a lot of ovals of the same proportion, different sides, but the same proportion to make the paint. So we recreate again the project of the graphic drawer at 6th century. So
you copied this, the way they made the paint and the paint itself.
Exactly.
So you're obviously not a man that does things by halves, yeah? You are.
I fall in love for such things. Sometimes have no meaning, we know, but how many things have no meaning and anyway we do it?
Okay, so that's your third. So let's just run. So long ago we asked you the question. It seems like several years ago. But let's just give you the three Sagrantino single vineyards again. Number uno,
Colle alle Macchie.
So the, okay. Number two,
Campo alla Cerqua. Number three, Colle Grimaldesco.
So that's the Lombard Hill. The Lombard Hill.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's the third one. So in terms of the taste,
see,
quickly, just go through them one by one. The first wine,
Colle alle Macchie is very deep, dark,
tannic,
rich, full body. All the Sagrantino are rich in tannins, but tannins for me means nothing.
Is that on very clayey soil?
See.
So that's why it's quite okay. The second wine.
The second wine, Campo alla Cerqua, is up to the river pebbles.
So that's the oak tree vineyard.
Yeah.
So that's on pebbles, so that's going to be more softer tannins, maybe a little bit of spice in there.
You're
And number
thinner, elegant, more acid.
Right, let's get the Longobards. The
Longobard.
Third one, give me the name again.
Is the Colle Grimaldesco. That's is the most complex one. Because there we have river pebbles, clay. It's a mixed texture.
Do you pick that in different times, though?
Oh, no. I harvest all the grapes in the same time. I ferment the wine in the same way. I age all of them in the same way.
No, for the third wine, because you've got some stony, so it's like a combination of the beer, some stony soil and some clay soil. Is there a big difference in ripening between the...
No, because I used to be the last winery in the area to harvest the grapes. We usually harvest from the 28th, 29th of October, since the beginning of November.
Was that because you wanted to have like an overripe, sexy style, or because you just wanted to have phenolic maturity?
The second one, for phenolic maturation, and first of all, for the ripeness of the tannins. Before you told me, is tannic such wine? I say, it's rich in tannins, but these tannins have no meaning. Not because they have no meaning, have a meaning. But if the tannins are sweet, they're born sweet, that means that they're ripe, they polymerize along the year and the wine going to be smooth. If the wine born green, will be green forever. There's nothing to do.
So polymerization just means the tannins form smooth chains, and which means if they're forming smooth chains in the wine, it's going to be smooth on your mouth, right?
Good job.
Right. So, right, that's the three single vineyard Sagrantini.
Si?
Is that right, Sagrantini?
Sagrantini, no. There is not a plural. You're right.
Stand corrected. This is great.
There's for every rules we have in Italian language, there is an exception.
Is Sagrantino?
Is an exception.
So Sagrantini non esiste?
No. Plural of Sagrantino
is Sagrantino.
Is Sagrantino.
Okay.
Many people say Sagrantini. There are three Sagrantini. No, forget it.
See, Brunello, you talk about three Brunelli.
Three Brunello.
So anche loro.
Of course.
It's the same. That's another exception.
I want a bunch of Brunello.
Sorry, this is forget the Italian wine podcast. This is the Italian linguistics class.
Well, this is an exception because substantially, in this case, is a home name. It's not a common name.
It's a real name. Yeah, we say a real name.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
Right. So listen. Right. So you've got your winery.
Yeah.
You've designed it how you want.
Yeah.
You've got your three single vineyard or single site Sagrantino.
Sagrantino.
Oh.
Yeah.
Next.
Next. Oh, well, we make Adarmando, that is a white wine.
What's it called?
Adarmando.
To Armando. Who was Armando?
Great. You're the first one that really catch it?
Oh, okay.
Right. I'm so happy. Thank you for doing it.
My brother-in-law's called Armando. Who was Armando?
Armando was my grandfather.
On your mother's side or your father's side?
On my mother's side, because before to make Adarmando, I did the wine for my grandfather from my father's side, that was the winemaker of the village.
And what was he
called? So the name of my grandfather was Giovanni, and the name of the wine is Il Padrone delle Vigne, the owner of the vineyard.
So you make two wines for each of your two grandfathers, your mum's dad and your dad's dad.
Si.
Well, that's nice.
See. Si. And so I was really embarrassed with the other grandfather. They both are passed away, of course, was passed away. But I said, I can't do that. So if I did the wine for one of them, I should do one for the other because they have the same value for me in my heart.
Yeah, otherwise it's not fair, yeah.
Exactly.
What did you learn from your grandfathers? Maybe not about wine, but about life. If you have a ricordo, a memory of them,
well,
that they taught you something, what would it be?
The both grandfather was very well known in the village. They was very important person in the village because the butcher is important.
So one of your grandfathers was the butcher?
Yeah.
Which one? On your mum's side or your
My mother's side.
Right.
So on my mother's side.
And on your father's side, what was his job?
The winemaker of the village.
Okay, so that's usual. So you got basically, if you need a glass of wine and a slice of steak, you're sorted. You see the two grandfathers,
yes.
You're done. Okay. So you made these two wines, personalized. What is the difference in styling between the two?
Wow, very far away. Because the one that I gave the name to my grandfather from my father's side, it was a red wine and really entry level. Something rich, full body, for daily drinking.
Right.
Because the winemaker drink all time. Before lunch, after lunch. My grandfather used to say he was drinking just twice a day. Before and after the food. So, but means all time.
Okay.
So, and the other one is a white wine that literally changed the story of the white wine in Umbria. Adarmando was the first white wine in Umbria that got free glasses from Gambero Rosso in 2007. And at that time, the only awarded wine in Umbria was Cervaro della Sala from Antinori family. When we did this, all the area was more than surprised.
So what was special about this white wine? What was the grape variety that you used?
Trebbiano Spoletino is first of all, is an indigenous grapes.
Yeah, and it's not really a Trebbiano either.
Trebbiano the word Trebbiano comes from a Latin word that is Trebanus and is indigenous. It's for this that after the word Trebbiano used to follow another word that specify where the grapes are indigenous of.
Yeah, Trebbiano meant this is the wine of the local place, right?
Right. So Spoletino, because in Flaminia, that is the Roma street, direction Spoleto, that's the zone where you was finding that such grape.
So the Spoletino grape was actually not a Trebbiano, it's a Spoletino.
And there are many, there are many, Abruzzese, di Romagna, di Lugana, all over.
So what are the characteristics of a Spoletino white wine?
Well, this is completely different from all the other Trebbiano. First of all, because it used to be ripe at the beginning of November.
That's
crazy.
Late ripening.
Very, very late. Usually Trebbiano Toscano used to be ripe beginning of September. So very, very ripeness that give the ability to the wine to stay on the plains during the first winter night.
So basically it's quite a resistant variety.
Ooh, resist a lot. No mold, no diseases.
And it can grow on a damp place that gets cold in autumn without rotting.
Should be cold.
So very resistant. So does it have very thick skins, the Spolitino?
See, double time thicker than skins of a Trebbiano Toscano.
So what does
you
that
chew,
give?
You chew the skin.
What does that give to the wine? I mean, when you press the wine, is it quite difficult pressing these thick skins?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you slow press or do you quick press? What is the secret of making a good Spolitino?
I have a very quick press with a very soft pressure because I have no meaning goes ahead for a long time. The first drop that come out are the best.
The free run.
We have two different white wine. The flower, the one we call the flower,
so
is
that's the first run juice, the purest juice.
You're right. Adormando is only this.
Okay.
So it's the juice that naturally come out from the skin. Everything is coming from the press. Also, if it's soft, just a tiny touch, anyway, it's not anymore Adormando.
Okay,
it's
so,
an entry level.
So, and where does the rest of the juice go? Which brand does that go into?
We have Il Padrone delle Vigne Bianco.
Padrone delle Vigne is the godfather of the vineyard.
Si. Exactly. It's the godfather.
Okay.
Exactly. in the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
On the right way. You know, godfather have a lot of meaning. Especially here.
Okay. Are you looking at me?
No. Okay. I don't see, I don't hear, I don't speak.
So that's the two Spolitino ones.
Yep.
Next, we've done the Sagrantini. And we've done the Spolitino.
Oh, so we have free Sagrantino. No Grechetto. I don't like Grechetto. It's not on my view.
What for you is you don't like Grechetto because it's difficult to grow or because it doesn't have a lot of flavor?
Grechetto usually is bitter. The color is very dark yellow. It's
it
aggressive.
Easily, yeah.
It's easy to... The Grechetto born green after 1 second is gold in 1 second. It's when you drink it, it's all over in your mouth. It's not easy. Try to put him into a side or into another. You want to go where you want to
go. So it lacks a bit of acidity maybe?
Well, the acidity is not so high as I wish into a white wine. If I look to the Trebbiano Spolitino, acidity of Trebbiano Spolitino is the double than the one we have in the Grechetto. It's another word.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to say that Trebbiano is better than Grechetto. Mm-hmm. Trebbiano is what I like.
Okay.
So I feel more comfortable with it.
Okay. So what about your main markets? Obviously, you've had a lot of critical success in Italy. Has that helped you sell to foreign markets like, say, America or France or Germany or the UK?
We sell the wine in 29 different countries. United States is one of them. So we are in Canada, United States, something like South America. In Europe, we are mostly all over with just few exceptions like Portugal, Spain, Greece. Then we have Asia and Oceania, so Australia, New Zealand. Of course, as I told you, Asia, so Japan, China.
Do you do the selling yourself or do you have somebody to do that so you can stay in the town doing your vineyard and winery stuff?
I have guys that help me. So we used to share our trips all around the world because since a few years ago I was by myself doing this, but it's not easy to travel all around the world by yourself and at the same time make the wine. So I was thinking what's best doing in my company, and I said I prefer have a guy that travel and I take care about the wine.
So what does the future hold for you? What is your next project? You obviously got a guy with a lot of energy.
Yeah, well,
and
now
a lot of ideas.
I'd have
to lie down after this interview. I need to
I have a crazy project.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to create a wine village.
A wine village?
A wine village.
In...
It's like, you know, when you go on vacation and there are villages on the sea with all the amusement that are linked to the beach, the water. I want to do the same with the wine.
Okay.
With no beach, no sand. So, because it's not comfortable to have the sand in the middle of the foot finger.
So. So when you say like a wine village, what do you mean by that? But who would it be aimed at as well? Would it be aimed at younger people or older people? Foreign people?
I want foreigners, I want Italians, I want young, I want old. I don't want to make a discrimination, so this is not something for a specific category. It's for people that love the wine, want to have a new experience, and they want to enjoy something new, a funny idea. So they come to the cellar and they have everything. There are circuits where you can go on the kitchen garden collecting everything you want. You can have tour in the middle of the animals and take your animals if you wish to.
So you've got animals as well, have you?
Yes, because as I told you, because my grandfather was a butcher, we still have everything.
You still have cows then?
We have cows, not anymore, but we have pigs, we have lambs, we have ducks, guinea fowl, chicken, rabbits, turkey. I'm forgetting a pigeon, free range wild pigeon. But I'm forgetting something because we are plenty of such things and we like them.
So they're all for meat, basically. Do you have any birds like chickens for eggs as well, or do you just?
Oh yes, of course. Also for the eggs, we have fresh eggs. We make fresh pasta every day.
So, and you sell that commercially?
No,
that's just for the family.
It is just for the family and the winery guests.
But the all the other animals, are you selling the meat or not? Was it just for you?
No, it's just for us and for the winery guest. So all the winery guests, everybody is coming to the cellar. It's not having something close to the wine that is shot. It's own production. So our salami, our sausage, our eggs, our tomatoes, our salad, our everything.
So this is just like a family garden,
see,
but a slightly larger scale. So when guests come, so when you say guests, do you mean
journalists? Can be journalists, but also can be importers, but at the same time is also wine lover that come to the cellar just to have a tour, a tasting. Mm-hmm. So why you should taste my wine with the garbage? So I don't make garbage, so
okay.
I
so want if a tourist red. Comes and has like a meal in the winery, obviously yep. they pay for that. It's not like it's free.
No. Yeah. The tasting are at payment. Of course, the guys discount the tasting at the end of the tour if the guest purchase the wine. Of course, if you purchase the wine at the end, we discount the tasting. Have no meaning. Ask money if you purchase the wine.
So how many people do you have looking after all these animals? It can't just be your family.
Oh, my mom and my father and my aunts are taking care of all the animals. And I have my uncle that was the cellar master with my grandfather. He's now 81 years old. That is helping me in the cellar. That's it.
That's great.
Yeah, it's easy.
81 years old, he's still working. Yeah.
Still working there.
Is he as energetic as you?
Wow. If you look at him, you believe that he's 60, 65. Not older.
So I just want to say thanks very much to Giampaolo Tabarini from the Tabarini Winery. You are a force of nature.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm going to have to go lie down after this interview. I need a massage. I need to take a holiday. So, but what you're doing is obviously very unique. And I like the idea of these single vineyards, single site Sagrantini.
So
Sagrantino, sorry, I should say. And obviously the fact that you've got your kitchen garden and the whole family is involved. I'm sure sometimes it's very complicated with family politics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially with the mama.
Yeah. just want to say thanks very much to Giampaolo Tabarini of the Tabarini Winery in Montefalco. Not only a winery, it is obviously a gastronomic destination, I think, having heard about this kitchen garden. Obviously, you've made a mark locally and you've certainly made a mark internationally as well with your wines and within Italy, of course. You are a force of nature. Great to meet you.
Nature is the mine, brother.
I need to go lie down. Exhausting interview. It's been great. Great stuff.
Thank you so much.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.